Thank you. Good day, friends. And I sincerely hope that you folks who have been listening in day after day are reading the book of Galatians. I hope you can read it through and over and over and over again. And I've taken quite a bit of time on this second chapter, especially from verses 11 down to 21, where we are dealing with a basic thing. And it's because it's so basic that I'm spending time. And I know very, very well that some of you people who listen in, it may be a new thing to you. It may be a startling thing to you. But let's be realistic about it. Let's get down to what the Word of God has to say. This is the revelation God has given to each one of us in the Scriptures. The Bible is the Word of God. And in this passage from 11 down through 21, the great foundational doctrine of justification is being defended by the Apostle Paul before Peter and before the church at Antioch. He already had done this at the first council at Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15, where Peter and James and the rest of the leading apostles had stood by Paul in the message which he had preached, the message of the grace of God. Remember that God had given to the Apostle Paul the revelation of his grace, which is so wonderfully set forth in the book of Romans. And now he's defending that truth at the church, before the church in Antioch, and especially before Peter and Barnabas and the rest of the leaders there. You remember these false teachers had come in and had upset the experience as well as the faith of these Galatian Christians. And we're dealing now with the last part of chapter 2, where we're dealing with the error of legalism, the error of Peter's mistake. The fact is, the law slew me, in verse 19. The law slew me. Allow me to read those three verses again. I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I. I no longer live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ died in vain. We've been dealing with Peter's action, the inconsistency of Peter's action. We've seen the folly of his action. And now we're dealing with the fact, the error of legalism, 19 and 21. And the first thing is that all the law can do with us is to slay us. Remember, it's a ministration of death. And the law doesn't help me to be good. The law demands that I am God. The law doesn't condemn us and then give us another chance. The law doesn't give you any other chance. And hence, all the law can do is to curse us and slay us. And I repeat it, death has severed the relationship with the law. It can't do no more. In fact, I'll say this, the law cannot even accuse us anymore. I'm speaking about those who've really trusted the Savior. You find this in Romans chapter 8, 33 to 34. Who was he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. By the way, do you want to know some people who never break the law of the land? Do you know there are thousands of people in America who never break the law, never break the law? You know where you find them? In the graveyard. Death has come in and severed the relationship. You don't find policemen patrolling the graveyards. They're dead. Death has come in and severed the relationship and severed the responsibility between those who are dead and those and the arm of the law in the city. So, we were crucified with Christ. This is what the question is raised in 19 and answered in 20. Now the question is raised as this, Paul, when did you die to the law? For he has just said, I through the law am dead to the law. Then when did you die to the law? I was crucified with Christ. It's a past tense, by the way. I was crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Christ is my substitute. When Christ died in my stead, when Christ died in your stead, my friend, you died. your history as a sinner came to an end. Now, this is a fact. This is not something you feel. You don't experience facts. As far as God's concerned, your history as a sinner came to an end. The cross announces the end of all human merit. We don't like that, do we? I say we don't like that, do we? We want some credit for something. No, my friend, it says in the Bible, no flesh will glory in his presence. There's going to be no boasting. It's excluded. By what work? By what law of works? Nay, by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is declared righteous by faith without the deeds of the law. When were you slain? At the cross. I say, you didn't feel that. You don't feel that. You don't feel crucifixion. Christ died. He was the one that was crucified, not you. I have met some people who say that they have to crucify themselves every day. Not according to the scriptures. You can only die once. Christ died for me. Christ was crucified in my stead. Mitchell is the one who should have died. You were the one who should have died. Christ took your place. He bore your sin. And I say this reverently, all the holy law of God could do with Jesus Christ when he bore your sin and my sin was to curse him, making him a cursed thing. For it says, cursed is everyone who hangeth on a tree. And he died your death and my death. Do you know that verse in Romans chapter 1, 7th verse, where the beloved of God called what? Called saints? Saints? Not saints by character, saints by calling. I wish in some way I could put this so you could all understand what I'm talking about. The fact is, when Christ died, you died. You remember Romans chapter 6, the first 11 verses? I read, for example, our old man was crucified with him. All that I was in Adam was crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be rendered inactive. In that he died unto sin once. In that he liveth unto God. In like manner, reckon yourselves indeed to be dead unto sin and alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now he says here in this passage that the law slew him. And we were separated from him. And the same thing in Romans chapter 7, the first 7 verses. Death severs the relationship to the law. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 14 to 17. When Paul says, the love of Christ overmasters me, because I thus judge, if one died for all, then we're all dead. In Colossians chapter 3, if ye then be risen with Christ. And what kind of folk rise? Verse 3 says, you have died. And your life is hid with Christ in God. You're not dying daily. You died. Dead men have quit dying. Dying men are not dead. Now what are you? The law said it slew me. Paul says, I'm dead to the law. Paul says, I was crucified with Christ. To whom were you joined? Was it not to the one who came forth in resurrection? Are you and I, as Christians, not united to the man who burst the bands of the tomb, who's exalted to God's right hand? Death is behind us. The grave is behind us. The law is behind us. The law has nothing to say to those who are in Christ. The law is perfectly satisfied because we're in Christ. Christ met all the demands of the law at the cross. It's not the life of Christ that saves us. It's the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. And it was absolutely sufficient to take sinners, transform them into the children of God. Oh, I wish I could just read it. If any man be in this risen Christ, says Paul in 2 Corinthians 5. If any man be in this risen Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Listen to this verse. I no longer live. Christ liveth in me. When were you slain? At the cross. And I want to again repeat it. The cross announces to all men everywhere the end of all human merit. As I said in a preceding lesson, when God raised his Son from the dead, it was God telling the human race that he will recognize and acknowledge no other salvation but that salvation which is in Jesus Christ his Son. And he guarantees that by the resurrection. You know the song we sing sometime? I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. And now, as new men, new women in Christ, he doesn't leave us to our own selves to live. The Spirit of God indwells us for the purpose of living unto God. Now let's look at that 20th verse. I was, and by the way, it's an act. It's not I am being crucified with Christ. It's already passed. This is a fact. Whether I feel it or whether I don't feel it, the fact is that Christ died my death, that he bore my sin, he was cursed for me, and that I now in resurrection am joined to him. I no longer live, says Paul, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I no longer live, but Christ liveth in me. My, what a relief. What a relief from all self-effort. What a relief from the strain and the struggle that we used to have. How we struggled to please God. How we struggled to get saved. How we struggled to keep saved. Now we're at rest. I no longer live. My, I say, what a relief. What a relief. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. What do you mean by that? We're no longer enemies of God. Is that all? Oh, no. Oh, no. We have peace. We're no longer under a strain. No longer struggling. No longer filled with disappointing self-effort. Just resting in him. My, what a life. What a life. What a life. No longer I, says Paul, but Christ liveth in me. Now, why not enjoy that today? Why not just put yourself in the hands of the Lord Jesus, you Christians, and say, thank God he's going to live the life, what he wants to live, in and through me. And that's where I'm going to live today.